Hey, beautiful humans. Welcome to Sex, Love, and Everything in Between.
You're here with Jacob and my wife, Meg.
And this is the place where we have all the very, very real, raw, and extremely unfiltered conversations about sex, love, and everything in between.
Oh, yeah. It's here you get a behind-the-scenes look into our relationship. And we will not be holding back, will we, my love?
No, we don't know how to do that.
Not at all.
So, beautiful ones, thank you for being here. Enjoy this episode. Hi, beautiful humans.
Yo, yo, yo.
I want a name to call our community.
Do you?
Yeah. Sex, love, and everything in between us.
The in between us.
The in between us.
That's already taken.
Okay, if anyone's got any fun ideas for the name of our podcast community.
You're really into naming things at the moment, aren't you?
Well, it would just be like how fun to have a name. Like, hey.
Yeah.
I want you guys to feel seen by me.
Do you want to call them lovers or is that a bit too?
Hey, that's lovers. That could be cool. Hey, lovers. Welcome back.
Yeah.
And I'll totally change my voice.
Yeah, you could do that.
Hi, lovers. I like that. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
See, ask and you shall receive.
I might put a poll on Instagram. You guys love a good poll. Whenever I put polls up, people just fucking love them. People come out of the woodworks to do a poll. Yep. Are you like that as an Instagram consumer as well?
Not really, no. I more just scroll reels until my eyeballs sting. Then I think, oh, better get back to work. Dopamine detox, Jacob. Dopamine detox. I do a dopamine tox. Yeah. I load up. I do a dopamine load.
Oh.
But nonetheless, let's get on with it, lovers. Let's do this podcast, lovers.
Lover and lovers. Mm. I love it.
How polyamorous.
We're here with our many lovers.
Yes. That's okay. Kind of hot.
We spend an hour every week with multiple lovers.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob's giving you guys some dark chocolate ASMR.
It's an aphrodisiac. Is it? I think it is, yeah. It's good for libido.
Okay.
I'm having dark chocolate oysters for lunch.
Oh, I love oysters. If anyone's on the Gold Coast, Etsu at Mermaid, best freaking oysters ever.
Hands down.
Ever.
I haven't had them, but you rave about them.
We had them together that time.
Oh, at Etsu. I thought you were talking about where you went on the weekend.
No. Etsu Mermaid.
Etsu, yeah.
Etsu best Mermaid. Oysters,
yeah.
So fucking good. That place is epic. Anyway, we are here.
To talk about.
Kind of out of mind blank. I asked you on Instagram recently what your biggest relationship challenge is. And it was like a tie for the top two themes that arose. One was communication and the other one was libido. So we're going to dive into a conversation around libido today, specifically what we're going to call, but then also very quickly not call, mismatched libido. So many of you wrote in and you DM me, but then you also answered the question box expressing that your biggest challenge was this feeling of your libido and your partner's libido not being matched up. Like either your partner has a much bigger libido than yours, he wants a lot more sex than you, or your libido is a lot higher and feeling a lot of tension, feeling a lot of discomfort, feeling a lot of what I see when people bring this conversation forth and what I see with clients is a lot of women feeling and men too, but women feeling like broken or that something's wrong with them, something's wrong with their body or something's wrong with them because they're not feeling high, like that their libido is high or that they're highly erotically charged or want to be having a lot of sex and they feel wrong or broken because of that.
Yeah, I have found from the men that I've worked with and their perspective in relationship is that sometimes their desire for sex can be a burden. It's like, hey, it's like almost like it's a favor that the woman has to do for them at times. And they feel like, oh, like they feel as though, like, oh, it's a burden to my partner, so I feel wrong for having to bring it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And this can then lead down the shame path of, like, lots of men becoming porn addicts and finding a way to have that need met outside of their relationship. So I think this is a really important topic, and I think this is so much more than just I think mismatched libidos is kind of like the surface level issue.
Yeah.
And there's like a whole depth of conversation that we can have about this, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, me too.
I'm happy to be here today. Thanks for having me on, Meg. I really meant radio show there. It's like, it's great to be here in the podcast room with you today. 7-9 years.
Okay. I think I want to start the conversation by saying that, yeah, this is a huge fucking topic, and there's many angles in which we can look at libido. Like, there's libido from a health perspective and like a physiological perspective. And that's huge, right? If you are not, like, libido can often be a result of vitality.
Yes.
Right. And if you are not getting enough sleep, if you are not nourishing your body with, you know, the right healthy, powerful things in your body, your libido is going to be affected. So that's obviously a contributing factor to this as well. We're going to be speaking about it more from like an energetic perspective and a relational perspective, and how do we meet this together in partnership? Because that's our fucking jam.
I think, yeah, I think there's, like you said, there's a whole physical aspect of, like, what are you putting in your body? How are you looking after your physical engine? Like, what is it that you're doing to make sure that you are vital, not only in your sex life, but in all areas of life?
Totally.
Because if you're not sleeping well, you're not eating well, you're not drinking high quality water, you're not doing all of these things that can support you to thrive, then by default, your sex life is going to be affected.
Totally.
By default. So, I'm really excited to talk about the actual relationship dynamics, which I feel can be just as important.
Yeah. And hormones is a huge piece.
Yeah.
And I would say majority, like, we live in a very, like, chemical laden world that doesn't support us as humans to have healthy, thriving hormones. And a lot of the time, if you're not conscious about it, like, there's a lot of hormonal issues that men and women experience. So, if you're not feeling vital in your body, I would highly recommend, and that is affecting your libido, I would highly recommend, going and receiving support around that. Like, I've even noticed, I've been doing a bit of a cleanse with my naturopath and prepping prepping my baby body. And oh my gosh, I feel the most alive and vital and healthy I have probably ever felt in my adult life. Mm-hmm. And I'm turned on as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm turned on as fuck.
Mm-hmm. The red lights. That's what it was. too much blue light in this house, Meg, but two strips of red lights and everything's changed. That's the answer
helpful.
To libido.
Guys, Jacob just is like so against any, like, well, you just don't like when people get really into, like,
guys, I get a bit over the biohacking.
Biohacking stuff. And so we have incredibly bright lights in our home. Anytime any of our biohacking kind of friends come over, they're like, what the actual fuck? So I went and bought these strips of red light. So at night we turned the intense blue light off and have the red light. And I'm feeling a difference. I'm sleeping really well with my mouth tape, with my eye mask, with the red light before bed.
You are a biohacking bro.
I am. Mm.
But those, like,
ice baths.
Ice baths. But all of those things, like, I don't think we're the experts on all that sort of stuff, but we do all of those things in our life. We eat organic food. We drink high quality water. We are getting better at sleep. Pete and Jordan, stop making fun of me for staying up till 12 every night. we are sleeping much better. We are regulating our bodies in a healthy way.
Mm.
And that definitely then transfers to the amount of energy we have, which then transfers to the amount of aliveness we can bring to all areas of our life.
Yeah.
But that can only get you so far if you aren't aware of, like, relationship dynamics.
Yeah. That gets to be the building blocks. That's the building blocks for everything.
Foundation for life. Yeah. For just holistic living. But we're going to speak into, the actual, because I think this is where people start to trip up when they do all the right things, that they use all the right formulas, but then they still come up against the barriers of resistance because they haven't actually deepened their awareness.
Yes. Mm. Just want to shout out our glorious friend and naturopath, Talia.
Love you, Charles.
Swartz.
No, it's Talia. Oh,
Carl her, oh. now, but yeah. On Instagram, it's Swartz. I think, is it Talia underscore naturopath?
I think it's Talia Schwartz underscore naturopath.
Okay, well, I'll link it in. I'll link Talia in the show notes because she's a phenomenal naturopath. So anyone that's wanting support with hormones, especially if you're a woman, Talia is your gal.
Yes. Yo, what's up, guys? We're interrupting the podcast to share with you what's going to go down in our upcoming 4-week couples course, Ignite Your Intimacy. Hey, lover, share with them what's going to go down and the journey that they're going to take.
Of course.
Mm.
So, beautiful humans, week one, we are going to be teaching you the foundations of deep intimacy and hot love. This first teaching is really going to shift things in your relationship immediately. When you begin to practice the tools, the skills we offer up, when you sit with the intimacy practice and homework we offer up, you will feel the shifts immediately. Mm. Second week, we are diving into the art of loving a man and the art of loving a woman, because the truth is we operate differently in relationships and we desire different things. So you're going to walk out of week two feeling deeply understood by your partner and also feeling really confident on how you can love them better and better and better. Week three is the art of epic sex. This week's going to get steamy. We're going to be really deep diving into how to transform sex from just rubbing genitals together to a place where deep healing and depth and ecstasy becomes possible.
Mm.
Then finally, week four, we're going to be exploring relationship as a practice. So really deep diving into why your relationship can be or is the deepest spiritual practice you have and how you can begin to meet and create a culture in your partnership where healing is available and you're devoted to bringing out the absolute best in each other. Every single week, we are going to have in-depth videos and trainings and intimacy practices, and then we're going to have weekly Q&A so you can come and receive personalized support from me and the man. We cannot wait to have you.
Yeah.
Come and join us for Ignite Your Intimacy. It's $444 to come and join for the month. We begin 27th of November. Link is in the show notes.
Go get it.
Now, let's get back to the episode.
Right on.
Okay, now on to we'll talk about libido from more of a relational perspective.
Yes.
So first of all, I don't like looking at this or calling it having mismatched libidos.
Mm.
Because already I think that has this connotation that someone is wrong. And that's often, you know, we speak so much here in the podcast about being on each other's team in relationship. And anytime we're feeling like, you know, one of us is right and one of us is wrong, we step into this paradigm of being opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has to win. Someone's losing here. Someone's right. Someone's wrong. Someone's the winner. Someone's the loser. And so I think when we're looking at libido from this perspective of like, we're mismatched, sometimes it can really feel, it can leave someone feeling broken, can leave someone feeling like, or the kind of paradigm can be like, I have a high libido. What's wrong with you? Well, not even I have a high libido. It can be, I want sex. You don't. What's wrong? What's wrong with you?
Mm.
Right? Or someone can be made to feel wrong for having a high libido and wanting sex too much. And like you said that, you know, it's not always a man. I definitely want to like bust that myth that this isn't always, you know, we live in a culture that tells us that men have higher sex drives than women. And that is just not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not true. And a lot of the time, yeah, this if we're looking at it from a male being made to feel wrong for, you know, wanting more sex than a woman, that can be when, you know, a man goes into the shadows and his sexual desires are in the shadows and he's locking himself in the bathroom and watching porn on his phone and masturbating.
Mm.
And this does not lead to, you know, deeper intimacy, incredible sex when we are taking our sexuality into the shadows of our relationship.
100%. And I think this also, like we've spoken, I think so much about this on the podcast and we speak about this all the time is like men and women are different. Like our biology is different. So like it's not about a mismatched libido. It's about like knowing what each of us actually deeply desire. and how we can honor each other's desires and learn to work as a team to create this beautiful experience of pleasure for both of us.
Yes. Mm. And that would be the first thing I would bring into this is that if you're experiencing this in your relationship, get fucking curious.
Mm.
Like if you just got a bit of chocolate in your beard.
Come and lick it off.
You would hate that.
I would hate that.
Jacob like doesn't if he ever has food in his face or anywhere. I'm not allowed to like get it off. I'm not allowed to act like his mummy. Where was I? get curious if this is unfolding for you. So say that you are the partner with a lower sex drive, perhaps. Perhaps your partner, let's say you're a woman and your male partner is waking up with a hard on. He would like to be fucking you. You don't want to be fucking, you know, and this kind of unfolds again and again in your relationship. He is wanting sex, you know, he's bringing you his hard cock and you're a no. In these moments, it could be really beautiful instead of, because this can be a protective mechanism to make him wrong, to close off, to protect yourself of like, I don't want sex. Like that feels like a burden or that feels too much. I don't want to have to deal with that. Mm. It can be a protective mechanism to project shame onto our partner in those moments to make them feel wrong. But what I would invite you to do is to bring like curiosity. Right? In that moment when your partner is coming to you desiring sex, what is it that he actually wants? And can you get curious about that? Is it that he actually wants to come? Or does he want to connect with you?
Mm.
Right? Is sex maybe a portal to him wanting to touch you or just deepen in intimacy or to be together? And so this is where getting really curious about like, what it is that he deeply desires or what it is that you deeply desire in those moments is really fucking important.
Yeah, 100%. I just put way too much chocolate in my mouth.
You put so much chocolate in your mouth.
I just keep coming back to, that was really embarrassing. The way that I see this lens of like mismatched libidos is it's almost like sex is a currency. I keep coming back to that phrase of like sex is not a currency. And can we expand our definition of sex and can we start to map out our own sexual landscape within our relationship? So what does it mean when your partner wakes up? I wake up with a hard cock every morning. Like I don't wake up like wanting to have sex. That just happens.
Mm.
I think most men, I think that's a pretty standard thing.
Totally.
So it's like, do I actually want sex or do I just want to like roll around and touch you? And I did that the other morning. I was really horny, but I just like started to touch you. And then I was like, oh, that's all that I wanted.
Yeah.
Mm. It wasn't about me getting off. It wasn't about me getting what I needed. It was just like, oh, I'm just like feeling the desire to be connected to you.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think what I feel sometimes when we look at sex as a currency or sex as like someone wants something from me is that it can feel like, oh, there's an expectation here. Oh, there's something that I have to give that I don't want to give, or I'm going to have to be ready before I'm ready.
And do you know what shuts down a woman's libido like nothing else? Expectation.
Totally. Totally.
If a man is projecting urgency onto a woman, a woman is just going, she won't feel safe to even connect with her natural desire for sex. She will not feel safe to even allow the depth of her desire or libido to come online.
Mm.
So I think that's a really important piece for women that, again, I see this and I feel like I used to, when I was not connected to my own desire and not connected to my voice as well, this is a really important one because when women feel like if they say yes to sex, they've got to have penetrative sex.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as if their partner is, you know, he's got a hard cock, he pushes it up against the, like her in the morning, that it's either no, fuck off, or yes, you can penetrate me.
Mm.
But what if it was like, what if we learned to play in the space in between?
Mm-hmm.
And a woman needs to find her voice in order to be able to explore that space. A lot of women don't feel safe to explore that space because they don't know how to say, hey, I don't actually want to be penetrated. Or, hey, can we just make out and you touch me and I don't want anything else right now. So a lot of the time it's safest for a woman to just not connect to that part of her and go, no.
Mm-hmm. That can be really fucking vulnerable to like to go beyond the no. And I know for me.
Sorry, can you just, what do you mean go beyond the no?
Like if rather than like actually like it just like cut off with the no.
Yeah.
And okay. Go, and then actually you can spend like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm so down for a makeout sesh, but I don't really feel like fucking like actually you penetrating me this morning.
Mm.
And I think that cuts off the actual beginnings of sex. I think it cuts off the foreplay.
Mm.
It cuts the woman off from what she actually needs, that maybe later on that afternoon you've made out, you've had this like beautiful connection. You go out into your day, you have an amazing day, you come home and you feel like you've already set the foundations for foreplay.
Yes.
The piece there is that you say no to protect yourself, but then that also, if you open yourself up to having that conversation, hey, I'm not, or if you open yourself up to connecting, then the man can also feel like if you do say, hey, I just want to make out, the guy's like, oh, but I wanted this. And then you get to, a man can then get to see where his expectations are. And that can be really, really confronting. That can be really, really confronting as a man, like to see where you're just wanting to use your woman to get off.
Yeah, as like a literal receptacle for your cock.
And this is the piece that I think like about mismatched libidos. It's like, are you actually, do you have a higher sex drive or do you just not have the capacity to circulate your sexual energy?
Boom.
Because that to me is more, because I know when I get a little antsy, I'm going to use that word.
Needy.
And I can feel the urgency of like, just get me off. Just get me off. I want to use your body. I want to get access to it so I can just get this sense of relief.
Mm.
It doesn't actually serve me. Mm. It doesn't actually serve you. So I would say in the, for the idea of like, I have a higher sex drive is like, yes. And how are you actually using that to circulate the energy into your entire life? Not just try to get access to a woman's body to get a moment of relief.
Yes.
And I think that to me is a much bigger, much more important question for a man to sit with rather than just be like, oh, well, she doesn't want it. Oh, you know, my desires are a burden. I'm just going to go and get what I need from this, from Pornhub.
Yes.
Mm.
I think another powerful question for a man to contemplate, if this is what's happening, he feels his sex drive is bigger than a woman's, bigger than his woman's, is how am I creating a culture or environment where my woman feels safe to connect to her libido?
Aho. Mm.
So where am I creating, or where am I not fucking creating an environment where my woman feels safe to connect with her libido, to connect with her sexual desires? And what does this look like? This looks like not projecting urgency onto a woman, not feeling like, not expecting her to want to be a receptacle for your cock at all moments, just so you can like masturbate into her body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you, a woman, in order for her sexual desire to unfold and bloom, because that's how a woman's body works, that's how her arousal works.
Mm.
It's not just like, boom, I've woken up. You know, it can be that when a woman has done the work to really unleash her sexual and orgasmic energy. But a lot of the time, women's bodies need time, safety, you know, presence to unfold in arousal, to unfold in sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, you're not offering that, if she doesn't feel respected in that, she is just going to close down.
Yeah. She will find ways to dodge your advances.
Yeah.
And will end up to you creating like this fracture, this wedge between you, both of you. And then it'll be, oh, she doesn't want it. Oh, he always wants it. And it'll create this, this whole story that doesn't serve the deepening of your intimacy. Yeah, I think I had something that I wanted to say when I was trying to jump in and
butt. Sorry, I was just really
on one. No, you're in the flow. You were nailing it. The piece around, forgot. We'll just keep moving on.
Okay.
No, it'll come back to me.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, I can't remember it now, and it's on the tip of my tongue. Did you want to keep going, my love? Sorry.
No, you're up. You're up.
I really feel that this idea of men, like, not mastering their sexual energy, but just becoming aware of it, it can really help you in other areas of your life. And that, like, that was where I really started to understand when I was trying to get something from you. I was like, I'm almost like not able to hold my sexual energy. I can't hold this level of life force.
Mm-hmm.
So is it actually, what would serve me in this? Is it to go and release it, or is it to actually like breathe with it, to expand my capacity to hold it?
Yeah.
And that for me is like a really important thing for men to understand, is like, I want to increase my capacity. I want to be able to understand how I can bring more of myself to life without needing you to give me something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I was coming back to. Thank you. I thought I was never going to remember this. But one of the things that I've been reading, John Wineland has posted a few times, and I've read it more recently with David Data stuff, is, can you bring your desire without need? So can your woman feel your desire for her without any need attached to it? And I think that really is the foreplay that a lot of women's bodies need to feel safe, to soften, and to prepare for whatever sex looks like after that.
Even as you said that, I felt like a melting of my body. Whereas if you brought a desire with expectation or need, there's like a bracing. There's like a bracing. And I've felt that in the past, and I'm sure I've expressed this here, that there were moments where you would be trying to like create polarity and create, you know, fire and passion by being like, I want to fuck you later. And I want to, and maybe there wasn't any need there, but that would close me. That would have my body bracing, because for me, it was like, oh, I've already got to get to that end goal of having sex, and I don't know if I want that. And so I didn't even feel safe to make out with you, because I already had the expectation that my body needed to want to be penetrated. And that was so huge. And I want every woman hearing this right now to really notice if that's what a pattern that unfolds in your life. And yeah, it's to really be able to bring that into your partnership. So that you can create an environment where you're not then having to just say no to every, you know, initiation by your man, but you can open to that. Because sometimes, you know, what am I trying to say here? For me in that period, taking sex off the table was really powerful, and being able to express to you, like the idea of sex right now contracts me, but can we actually just talk about, or can we just make out and touch each other without any expectation of it leading to anything? And often when my body felt just safe to be in that without already thinking about, is it going to open? Is it going to be is my body going to be ready to be penetrated? Is she going to be turned on? I could just be there. And being in my body was then the doorway to, you know, connecting with my sexual energy and connecting to my openness and surrender. So, yeah, I feel like for women listening that maybe feel like they're disconnected from their libido or disconnected from their sexual desires, I highly recommend taking sex off the table, even if it's just for like a week, and to land in the safety of that, to land in what that feels like in your body. And what you feel safe to connect to, the desires, when it's not, there's going to be no sex for a week. Okay. I just want to fucking make out with my partner. I feel safe to make out with my partner because I know it's not going to lead to sex. Oh, fuck. That feels so good. Oh, now I'm making out with my partner for 5 minutes. Now I want to fuck. Wow. I've never actually felt that desire before. Well, like I haven't felt that desire really connected for a while.
Yeah, you're removing the need for it to get somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the core essence of desire without need. I desire you, but I need nothing from you.
Yeah.
And like you said, like I would bring things to you, and I'd say that with the intention of like building the energy, but you would attach to it as like, oh, Jacob wants to get there.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful for us to go through that, because like, hey, lover, I don't actually really give a fuck if we have sex or not. I'm just saying that because I want you to know that I fucking want you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, okay, now I can relax.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck whether we, you know, whether we do anything. I just want you to know that, like, I want to fuck you. And I think I just think you're the hottest thing on earth.
Mm. And I really love that, like.
But it, can I, sorry, oh, yeah, I want to go back and forth. But I do feel that, like, there's a vulnerability in, like, wanting to, like, in speaking your desire to a woman like that. Like, because men have got the hangover from, like, oh, we have, you know, been so, we've been perpetrators of, and treated women unfairly, which is true in the past. But then to bring your, like, your dark masculine through and like speak your desires powerfully and with intent, it will bring up that, that it can bring up that closure, because even if you don't have an expectation attached to it, then your partner, maybe their previous partner, or they were brought up in an environment where they actually saw that when someone brought that, there was an expectation placed on them, that it was their duty to fulfill that other person's need.
Yes.
So for us, even though I would bring that and you would then close, it was then a great opportunity for us to, like, have a conversation, right? And it was never actually about the sex. It was about, oh, we actually get to understand each other a little deeper. And it's like, oh, okay, rather than me actually come up and say those exact words, I can actually shift the words, and I can speak maybe a little slower. Maybe I can just touch you and just whisper in your ear something a little more gentle, and actually, like, learn how to, like, navigate this landscape of sex. And I think that's, like, that to me is, like, the real juicy part of intimacy, is, like, learning how to explore this, this tapestry of fuck.
Yes. Mm. This tapestry of fuck. Yeah. I love that.
Mm.
As a few pieces I really want to bring in here. One is, yeah, that dark masculine, and that the dark masculine, for it to be, like, we want to bring it consciously. If you're just saying, I want to fuck you, but you literally just want to grab that woman's body and treat her like an object and not attune to whether she feels safe or wants to open, like, yeah, that is the, you know, unintegrated, wounded dark masculine.
Yeah.
That is the perpetrator.
It's entitled.
Yeah. Mm. Whereas you want it, you can bring that. And often that is a very sexy quality in a man when he's owned this, owned the part of him that is not afraid to claim a fucking woman or claim his fucking woman, but to bring it with a depth of embodiment, to bring it without need or without expectation.
Mm.
And one thing, if you're a man listening to this and this is the dynamic that's going down in your partnership, I want you to have a conversation with your woman about her never having sex with you out of a sense of duty.
Yes.
Because that will be the biggest fucking permission slip for a woman that is playing out this dynamic as well.
If you just went up to, even if you just, you came to your partner after listening to this, and you said, hey, lover, like, I just want you to know that you never, ever have to offer me sex because you think it's what you have to do.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that you have full permission. If that feels like that's in the space, you have full permission to stop and say, hey, I'm feeling like I have to do this right now. And my body's a no. Like, if you just went and, like, let your partner know that, like, that would be such a gift.
Such a gift.
Like, hey, you don't have to, like, just because I have a desire to fuck right now does not mean that you have a duty to fulfill it.
Yes. And I love that you said the nuance there of, like, we can be halfway through having sex, or we can be, you know, 30 minutes into foreplay and you can say, I'm actually done. I don't actually want this anymore.
How many times have we done that?
So many. But that was a huge ingredient on my journey of liberating my sexual aliveness. If I was still having sex every time I thought you wanted me to, that is such a disrespect to my body. And when I disrespect my pussy and body, my libido gets locked down. My sexual energy gets locked down. So again, if you're a man wanting to feel more of your woman's sexual aliveness, do not let her have sex with you if you can feel it is just out of duty. And let her know that again and again. And this is for a woman too. Use your motherfucking voice. Your voice and you standing and advocating for your body is the doorway to liberating more of your libido and feeling more of your turn on, right? When you create boundaries for yourself, when you advocate for your body, that's when your body and you feel safe to bring your sexual energy online and your natural desires online. And this, you know, you said that before, maybe the current relationship, the man has never told a woman she needs to, or like projected any of that onto her. But oftentimes this is an inherited experience for women. This is a belief and a feeling that we have inherited from our mothers, our grandmothers, our great grandmothers, when sex was a woman's duty, was seen as a woman's duty, a wife's duty, right?
Yeah. It's a really, it can be sitting in your subconscious and you not even know how it got there. Like, it's not something that they taught you at school or that was like, hey, this is the rules to being a woman that you have to abide by. It's just through natural osmosis growing up in an environment where that may have been passed down through generations that this is your duty as a woman.
And can I just want to riff here for a moment.
Riff hard, girl.
I actually believe this is why we have this story that men have higher libidos than women and men want more sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually because that's biologically true.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that is because women have not felt safe to even connect with their natural libido and natural desire for sex because their bodies have been objects for a very long fucking time. Their bodies have been abused and mistreated for a very long time. So it hasn't, there has not been an environment and a culture where women have felt safe to even connect to their natural sexual expression and their natural sexual desire. So we have this myth that men just want more sex. No fucking way. When a woman connects to her body, when a woman is deeply rooted in herself, right? Oh my God, the motherfucking turn on that comes alive in her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we would bust that myth immediately. When you meet a sexually alive, turned on woman, you will never think that a man wants more sex. Right?
No way. I think the part that you can play as a man is like reverence. Like, can you revere a woman's body? Can you revere a woman in her magnificence, in her essence, and like respect her in that? And that doesn't mean withdrawing or like tiptoeing around her and being like walking on eggshells and be like, oh, can I touch you here? Can I touch you there? Is this okay? Is that not okay? I'm all for consent, but I'm also for deep attunement, especially in relationship. On the dance floor with some random, I think there's a lot more nuance around that. I think you need to respect people.
Yeah.
But like in a relationship where you guys are learning and growing together, it's not about like just tiptoeing, like, oh, I don't want to project my desires onto you. I don't want to. You're a woman and I respect you and you get to choose what you want to do and anything that you need, let me know. It's not about, playing into this kind of, nice guy energy. It's about, hey, I deeply desire you. And I also want to know that I revere you and everything that you stand for. I fucking adore. I want all of you. I want to know all of you and I want to take my time doing getting to know you.
Yes.
In all forms. And I think that's the, like you said, like women, when they are fully initiated into their sexual aliveness, that is a process. It takes time. And for men, if we look at how quickly we can be ready for sex, I think that then ties even more into the story that men want sex more than women. It's like, well, we're actually ready to go a lot quicker. It's not that we want more sex. It's just like, oh, we have to actually honor the time it takes for a woman to deepen into receiving us in our sex.
I love that so fucking much that you brought that up because it's true. Maybe a man is thinking that, oh, my woman doesn't want sex, but you're not actually honoring how her arousal works.
Yeah, you're not taking your time, bro.
Totally. And you're not like, you're not contributing to an environment where she feels safe. Right? To be in her body, to open, to connect with her sexual aliveness or sexual desires. So this, I'm really hoping that you guys are really feeling that this is not necessarily about, oh, you've got a higher libido than me. I've got a lower libido, whatever. Like, this can be a portal to deeper intimacy. This can be a place, like, if you lean in here and if you bring your curiosity and if you get to understand, like, what is the person in the relationship with the quote unquote high libido? What is it that they desire in those moments? Wow. Is it just they want this thing of relief, or is it actually, are they wanting sex because they're really missing you and they want to connect and they want deep intimacy? Mm. Would making out in that moment without sex feel good? Like, could you meet there in the middle, or could you play in that space? Like, what's between, you know, what's that space in between that you could start to lean into or play together and bring curiosity to?
Mm.
I also want to bring in this piece around celebration of our partner's libido or our partner's sex drive. Because again, I was speaking about, like, I see this energetic playing out when there is a quote unquote mismatch of libido, that there can be like a shame or a making one person wrong. And again, that just like brings our sexuality and our expression into the shadows. That creates more disconnection. That means that our partner probably isn't going to feel safe to either open or, yeah, bring what's alive in that realm to us. So I think it's really important to be able to, like, celebrate our partner.
Mm.
And for example, like, if you were to want, no, let's use the opposite example, because we've been using a lot of like men having the higher libido, but like this literally plays out in our life, at least a few times a month, where I want sex.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're going to bed and I'm like, oh, I really want to have sex right now.
Mm.
Like, and you're a no, but you will celebrate me. You'll be like, go and get the wands. Or like, oh, like,
get the wands,
get
witch.
Get the wands. Get the wands.
Get those wands, witch.
Get those wands, baby. But you will like celebrate me in that moment. You will be like, yeah, I'm a no right now, but I'm happy to lie here. And sometimes that will then end up with us having sex.
Yeah.
But just to be able to not go no, but to say, no, I'm a no right now, but like, what do you need? Like, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, really giving your partner permission to still explore what they need in those moments. And this, again, is where you can really understand what your partner wants in those moments. Cause for me, sometimes I just do really want an orgasm. I really want to, like, you know, circulate my sexual energy. So I will sometimes grab my vibrator if it's late at night, sometimes grab a wand, sometimes touch myself, sometimes, like, yeah, you know, be in that expression. And I think this, sometimes this can be so easy for women to be like, yeah, I would love my partner to do that. But if he wants sex, oh my God, I don't want him just like masturbating beside me. But we need to be able to offer, like,
yeah,
what if you were to be able to bring that non-judgmental energy to your partner, like, and be able to hold your boundary of no, but simultaneously celebrate him in his sexual aliveness and his sexual desire in that moment, or his sex drive in that moment.
And this really feels like a real practice of sovereignty around owning your pleasure.
Yes, huge.
Yeah, and that, like, if you're willing, if you really want to, like, experience pleasure, and you ask your partner, "Hey, would you like to have sex?" and they say, "No, I'm not a space for that right now." Hey, but by all means, go crazy, like, and, you know, bring the house down. Like, go do what you do. Like, I'm not going to judge you for going where you need to go with your pleasure practice. And it's like, oh, that kind of like acceptance. Yeah. There's been so many times where I've said no. And this comes back to, like, when, like, libido as well, like, thinking about, like, I much prefer to have sex through the day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm much more a daytime sex person. At like 9 o'clock at night when I'm like in bed, like, that's power down.
Yeah.
Phase for me. I find it really hard to get excited about having sex at like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. For me, I know that that's when I actually want to slow right down.
Mm.
I want to, like, relax. I want to be like nourishing myself.
Mm.
And the idea of having sex feels hard at nighttime for me. I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel like the time I want to be having sex.
Mm.
But then when you start to touch yourself, you start to writhe around on the bed, it awakens something in me. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing, Jacob? You know, like, one day this will all be gone. One day you will be in the ground, dead, And you will be looking down from heaven thinking, I should have fucked her. I should have fucking get up and fucking and suck on her titties, fucking touch her pussy, grab her, throw her up against the wall, be a fucking animal. And it's like that. Then it's like, hang on. Okay.
Yeah.
Here I am. I want. Yeah. And it's like, oh, but that only came if I had have said yes straight away, I would have been saying it because I thought I had to. But by me saying no, you owning your pleasure, claiming it and creating a desire without need that you could fulfill, then I was then like awakened to like, holy fuck, there's an experience happening right now that I want to be a part of.
So much so.
Mm.
Yeah. And that was like edgy as fuck for us years ago. Like the idea of touching myself while you're in the room, like what? Even touching myself while you were in the home.
Yeah.
Even years before that, touching myself full stop. So I get that some people might be listening to this being like, what the fuck? I could never do that. Mm. And this is a really beautiful, like, you know, having our own, we are such advocates for having our own like sexual practices. And like you said, sexual sovereignty. Mm. And again, not just thinking that it's your partner's job to get you off.
Yes.
And really reclaiming your pleasure instead of always outsourcing your pleasure.
Aho.
And for men, this is really powerful. Like if you were a woman that, you know, you're a no to having sex in the moment, but your partner, you know, is a yes and he's a man, I really invite you to, again, maybe his usual pattern is to sneak off into the shadows and watch porn and masturbate. And I'm not saying that is, you know, wrong, mm-hmm. but that is not life-giving to your sex life, most God, likely. No. You know, if he's probably not talking about it, there can be a lot of shame with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you inviting him to be in his sexuality whilst you witness or while you're there mm-hmm. brings such a safety to someone. For mm-hmm. him to be like, for you to basically say, no, I'm not available right now. And, but like, go for it. Do you want to like touch yourself while I'm in the bed here? Like, can I watch? Can I, you know, and again, this might feel really edgy, but this gets to be the place in which you get to both hold your boundary and celebrate what you feel in that moment and also not have someone feel wrong to celebrate your partner and his desire in that moment too.
I want to speak to this from a place of like liberating shame.
Yeah, huge. Go.
You are so intense.
I am so fucking intense.
Yes, love that. Go.
I just like get like really like.
It's quite hot in this room right now too, isn't it?
It's so hot. And I had a few shots of coffee today and it's just, it's yeah.
It is what it is.
Take a deep breath, Meg. Yes, my glorious husband, you were saying.
So, I don't know what your experience was like growing up, but for me, I would sneak a cheeky O in the toilets and I would have a wank and I'd do it in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very much how I got around sex for pretty much the first 10 years of my life. From masturbating and then having sex, it was all very secretive.
Mm.
It was all very, I do it when no one's around. I do it as quickly as possible. I do it and I hope that no one ever catches me. Oh my God, I would die if someone caught me or saw me doing this.
Mm.
So when we would masturbate in front of each other or pleasure ourselves in front of each other, and that was a big journey to get there. I was terrified. Mm. I was absolutely terrified to touch myself in front of you. And be witnessed in my pleasure. That was so, it was quite nauseating and it felt really confronting and I felt very exposed. But what it did was that it would help me liberate that shame that I had around my own pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed me that I was actually in control or I was the owner of my pleasure. I had authority over my own pleasure. And that was not for me to outsource that authority to you ever. It was always about my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then being witnessed by you and witnessing you in your pleasure, it became this whole other dynamic of like, ah, oh, this is, we're now like liberating the layers of shame from our past to the point where now we don't and there's still parts of us that definitely get needy, but it's like, oh, I can actually like be in my desire without needing you to do anything about it.
Yes.
I can be over here, hard dick, fucking legs, fucking like tensed up. I want to fuck. And I can hold that and not project that onto you.
Yes. Mm. And not feel like you, the only way, the only thing, the only other option is to slink into the shadows to do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I think that comes down to communicating like, and this, rather than saying, I want to fuck you right now, be like, hey, lover, I'm feeling really fucking horny. I'm just going to go into the room and self-pleasure. I really just need to be with my body right now. I just need to fucking move this energy. You would want to come and be a part of that, I feel. I feel like that would like...
Yeah, if you asked me, I'd be like, what? Can I come? Can I watch? Or if I wasn't really feeling it, yeah. I would be like, fuck, that's hot. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I love that you're choosing that for yourself.
And that's an owning...
I would be in such celebration.
And that comes back to like owning the desire rather than being like, hey, I'm going to go into my room and watch porn and just get rid of this energy so I can come back and be present with you. It's like, yeah. Hey, I need to go and be with my body. My body needs some loving. And that can be like a real sense of ownership, and it can create this like really beautiful dynamic for you guys to play into the attraction.
Yeah.
And the passion between the two people.
Mm. Yeah. And I want to bring a piece in like, because I think a big part of my journey in even like witnessing when we started like self-pleasuring beside each other and like letting that be a part of, you know.
Do you remember there was one time at
in the Eco Village?
Yeah.
That second half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember like, yeah, we were both, and it was just turned into this hot and heavy love mate. Yeah. That was, I was just, I keep thinking about it.
I think we were both beside each other and just like, I think that was the first time we'd ever just like touched ourselves
without touching each other
and then we touched each other. And this could be again, this was, I just really, if this feels so out of reach for you right now or even uncomfortable, I want to let everyone know that, oh my gosh, this was not, there was a place where I wouldn't have even the idea of talking about masturbating or the idea talking about even sex felt deeply uncomfortable, even in this relationship. So this is like a journey. And a big part of the journey is our own sexual, like our own relationships to our sexuality and our body.
Yeah.
Right. It's so important. So I think for women, like having your own self-pleasure practice, going and exploring that, especially if you're feeling like you don't feel very sexually alive or you don't want a lot of sex in your relationship. Not that there's anything, you're not broken, there's nothing wrong with you. And if you desire to feel more sexually alive, start your own self-pleasure practice because you get to create the environment where you feel safe to just explore. No one's needing anything from you. No one's projecting anything onto you. Mm. Like you just get to explore your own body, your own desires in the way that you want to. And then this is going to awaken, you know, this aliveness in you that you can then bring and explore in your partnership.
Uh-huh.
But something I wanted to say before is that like there will probably be triggers and discomfort. Like every human, I truly believe, holds so much sexual shame or a lot of sexual shame. So, you know, maybe it's the first time you're witnessing your partner self-pleasure or masturbate and there's like a kind of disgust or a judgment. Mm. Like be with that.
Triggers are good things.
Triggers are such good things. That's such great information. It's important to feel that. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm a bad person for feeling this or I'm feeling disgust. Therefore, what he's doing is disgusting. This is really important. Mm-hmm. Just because you're feeling disgust does not mean that the person doing the thing is disgusting. Mm-hmm. That's your own disgust to feel, right? And you get to feel it. And also then it's only by feeling it that you get to liberate it and meet that whatever you're witnessing, maybe it's your partner masturbating, right? Maybe it's anal play, whatever it is, like you get to liberate that and then choose to meet this experience from a different place.
Love that.
But only by being with the trigger is that possible.
Yeah. There's so much, I think it's so easy to label, like I said, like this idea of mismatched libido. It can be such I just have a higher sex drive and just write it off. When an actual, like, this is an invitation. Like, these are like little trigger points of awareness. Like, oh, I have a higher sex drive. Why? Why do I have a higher sex drive? What are my parameters for sex drive? And this is what leads us into these deeper conversations. And I'm so glad we didn't try to get anywhere with this conversation, because I feel it needs to be like teased out.
Yeah.
I feel like this concept of libido and how to create deep intimacy, it's not a dumb ball of string, and we actually have to take our time to bring the nuance in and bring the awareness to why a woman needs this amount of time, and why a man may be like labeling himself as having a high sex drive when actually he's just basing sex off his own biological makeup.
Yeah, and the arousal, his arousal works. Yeah,
And then the other thing that I've the whole other aspect too is like actually like creating sensitivity in the body versus fantasy in the mind, which is where for me desire is body based, need is mind based.
Love that distinction.
So a desire will almost like undulate or rumble or move through the body. It'll create like a sensation in the body, but a need will almost be like, I need that out there to create the feeling in here.
Yeah.
And you go, my love.
I was just going to say, if you are someone that currently requires fantasy or porn to have a sexual experience or have a climax, whether this is in partnered sex or just in your own self-pleasure, I highly recommend having a detox.
Yeah.
Whether that's a week, 2 weeks, a month, I'm not saying fantasy or porn is wrong, but you are, if that is the only thing you're choosing, you are capping yourself on what is possible in your sex life.
Like, totally.
You are, yeah, So, move from fantasy to what am I feeling in my body? What am I feeling and where am I feeling it? What's the sensation? Mm. What's the sensation of my hand on my own cock or my fingers on my own pussy or my body on my man's body? Like the sensations rather than I'm trying to use this image or what I'm seeing on a screen to get off that external experience, like you said. Building that sensitivity and coming back to the body, like the deepest orgasmic states will occur when you attune to sensation and the energy rather than a fantasy.
Exactly. I remember when I did a 2-week course with our mate Rob, and I just remember being like, I had my own disgust with this practice come up. So it was a 2-week it was almost like a resensitizing of my body. And I remember like the first day I was like, okay, we're going to self pleasure and you're not actually even going to touch your cock. And I was like, what? And it's like, and part of me is like walking in to sit on the toilet. And I was like, whoa, hang on. No, lay down on the bed, touch your body. And I'm like, what is this? Mm. And I was like, and I could feel the part of me was like, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't how I do this. And by the end of it, like, I remember that one of the final, before we self-pleasured in front of each other, I remember there was like one where it's like, okay, you're going to self-pleasure in the bath and you're going to light candles and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, what the fuck? But really what it was just asking me to do is actually like create more awareness of my sensory like parameters. It's like, oh, like, can you feel the warm water on your body? Can you actually like enjoy the ambience of the candles? Can you enjoy the pleasure that is here in your body? Can you like awaken something rather than just fantasize about this person doing this thing to you and kind of using this chemical trigger in your brain to get your body to get to where you need to get to?
And like you said, I'm sure that was so incredibly healing, because touching your cock before that, like masturbating, was how quickly can I do this without anyone knowing I'm doing it?
Exactly. So I was like flipping the script. I was like, can I just slow right down? And that for me is the difference between like extracting an orgasm and relaxing into an orgasm, which if you're a man and you start to understand like that relaxation into orgasm, even if you don't come, just relaxing into like the sexual energy moving through your body, you will begin to understand, like for me, that helped me understand your pleasure a whole lot better and how much value slowing down and taking your time can actually bring to your sex life.
Yes. Well, that's really the basis of like tantric sex. It's relaxing into pleasure.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, grabbing for the goal, tightening our body, contracting our body, trying to force an orgasm out.
Yeah.
And both men and women do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference of experience when you consciously relax your body, breathe deeper, like for a man, breathe into his cock, like breathe into his balls. For a woman, breathe into her pussy space, like relax, right? The difference of orgasmic experience in that is insanely different, like insanely different. And if you're a man, that it, and you have a female lover, like focusing there, like breathe down into your cock, like bring presence into your own body and to hers. And that's part of the ingredients of creating that environment where she feels safe to unfold and open and bloom in her sexual aliveness, rather than when you're like, she can feel that you just want to, like, you know, you're using her body like a hand.
I love that. Like, can you connect to your cock through your breath rather than through your fantasy, your mind or through your eyes? Can you connect to your cock through your body? And that for me, like understanding your body so much better, it's like, oh, your pussy is awakened through your body, not through your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or not through this idea of like, oh, you need to see something. It's like, oh, how can I actually bring you down into your body and then bring that energy towards your pussy and then like awaken her? And that's such a, understanding like the base. I don't know a lot about Tantra, but I know the basics. And I remember reading a book and it's like, what if you didn't have anywhere to go other than right here and you could just relax and just enjoy this moment with your body and your partner's body and then just see where... like what you're being called to touch, what you're being called to do. And it's like, oh, wow. Which brings me full circle to like one of the gifts of the masculine, which is presence. Mm-hmm. Can you just be present? It comes back to this. And I think that for me is super, super, super important when we're labeling stuff like high libido, low libido, mismatched, high sex drive, low sex drive. It's like, that's lazy. That's lazy. Like if you truly... like want to like love your partner and get to know them and you want your relationship to be a place that deepens intimacy, like you have to fucking put in some effort. You have to actually like show up and make that a priority.
Yeah.
And that for me, like I've had a few guys message me recently about the podcast and they're like, fuck man, if I had have known about this podcast, like 2 years ago, I would still be in the relationship with my wife. Like guys that are like going through really hard times because they didn't have the awareness of what's possible.
Yeah.
Because they've just, you know, labeled it, you know, like I'm getting a bit ranty as well. And I've spoken quite a lot just now. You've done really well.
I've been breathing more deeply and
yeah, I'm just like
letting you feel safe to be in your frenetic feminine.
I am feeling so turned on right now. The other thing that I wanted to bring into the space, especially for men, is that we were talking about sex as a currency, and I don't want to sort of open up a whole new topic before we start to close this one down. Is like, where are you doing things for your partner or doing things for the relationship and then expecting sex? So this is a really, really, really important one. I know a lot of guys out there, they go out and they work hard and they make money or they try to provide a beautiful home and beautiful things and do all the right things and then just expect their partner to give them what they desire, which can be sex. So for me, it's like, can you actually like choose to do all of those things as a gift for you and your relationship? If you want to make amazing amounts of money and create a beautiful home and pay for amazing holidays and really, really care for your woman in that way, get it done, brother. I celebrate you. And can you not let those things create an expectation that she should give you sex or her nourishment or her radiance or any form of pleasure because you've done that first? Can you have the courage to say, my love, I want to deepen with you beyond all the nice things that we have and beyond all the other aspects of life? I want to like create this lovership where we deepen into intimacy and both of our pleasure, both of our pleasure is alive and active. What do you need from me to feel that? Because I'd love to share what I need.
Perfect. I love that. Mm. I think that is important, that a man doesn't feel like then he has to disconnect from his desire, but again, desire without need.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I just know for me, that's been my biggest wrestle too, is like, oh, a big part of my manhood is being able to provide and do all of the things that create this, my ability to be responsible for the family unit. That's a big part of what I believe my journey of manhood is. But then I cannot let that responsibility create the expectation of, hey, I'm doing all this, you should give me this. It's like, no, I then get to come to you with my desires and speak to them and deepen into this whole other area of life, which is to create intimacy without that, you know, where it's just you and your partner, without the house, the cars, the bills, the everything. You want to create this beautiful sacred container where none of that can touch it.
One more thing. I feel like this is more for men.
We're loving on the men today.
Yeah.
And the women, but.
Well, I feel like it's for the men again, it's like, where are you wanting to take, but don't have a willingness to give?
Uh-oh.
And I don't mean like, where do you just want a blowjob and you're not, you know, open to licking pussy? Like, no, like where do you want to be met sexually and for your partner to ravish your cock and like, you know, worship your cock, but you're not willing to slow down your breath with her body. You're not willing to be there for the journey of her body flowering and blooming open in arousal.
Oh.
Because she is never going to give you what you want if you are not willing to do that, right? And not in this tit for tat way, but if you're not respecting a woman and making her feel safe, she's not going to bloom into sexual aliveness. Or maybe she is, but she's not going to do it with you.
And even if she, like, and this is where, if she does it out of duty, it will never give, it will never fulfill you. It will, I've forgotten the phrase from Peter Crone. It'll be, you'll get enough. You'll get just enough of, oh, I can't remember what it is, but yeah, I feel
I
like,
know,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
The one you're saying. Yeah.
It'll never fully scratch the itch.
Yeah. So just like full circle. Curiosity, like if this is the dynamic playing out for you, if you feel like there is quote unquote a mismatched libido in your relationship, like get curious, have a motherfucking conversation. What's alive here? Do the fucking desire date. Okay. Anyone in a couple, anyone in a relationship, if you have not already done the desire date, go and do the desire date.
Do the motherfucking desire date.
I don't know what the link is, but go to the show notes or go to one of our Instagram or message us about it if you can't find the link.
Please.
It's probably meg-o'neill.com. Oh, new finally. Website, guys. meg-o'neill.com/desire date. Just try that and see what happens. If that doesn't work, message me. Because if you're wanting to get curious and bring more aliveness into your sex life, like this is it. We've got a whole facilitated date night and questions and intimacy practices, so you can actually get to the core of like what you're both wanting and feel really deeply met. So go and get that. Actually, had a few messages about couples that had done it yesterday, and they said it was really fucking life changing.
This is the groundwork too for intimacy. Like you can come and listen to this podcast, you can ask us questions and we can tell you all about the stuff that we've experienced and give you all of the parameters. But there's going to come a time where you have to break ground, where you have to like sit down with your pen and write down your desires and look your partner in the eye and say, hey, lover, this is what I want more of.
Yeah.
This is what I desire deeply.
That's really important.
You love that, don't you?
No, but like you can. Maybe you're 46 episodes into our podcast. You've listened to almost 50 hours of us talking. But that isn't going to change your relationship if you're not willing to embody what we speak about here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know this is for someone. I know one of you is listening. Maybe many of you are listening. That's like, you know, the thing you've got to go and do after listening to us here on the podcast again and again, maybe every single fucking week, you know, the things your relationship is asking of you, inviting you into, trying to initiate you into. Like, go and have that conversation, or go and speak that need, or go and use your voice in the bedroom. Like, whatever it is, go and do that thing. You know what it is.
Mm.
And then DM us and celebrate yourself.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay. I'm getting so hot and sweaty in this chair.
Yeah, it's...
We need to get like an air conditioning unit.
We do need, yeah. Room. Is that your desire? I was going to ask you, do you have a deep desire that you'd love to bring to our relationship live on the podcast? Is
an there something you'd like to... air conditioning unit for the podcast room.
Yeah.
Is
there anything you need from me, or that you desire from me, that isn't currently circulating in our sacred union, our twin flame?
You know I don't like that word.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I feel just so fucking good right now.
Nailed it. I'm winning. Oh, sorry.
Oh, always. I just love when you, quality time is always something that turns me on. And when you like invite me to things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do that. But
I would say quality time throughout the week is my biggest slip up. Like I'll have things maybe once a month that we go and do together. But week to week, I think that's where I could really improve for you. Is like, hey, do you want to go for a walk?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that seems trivial, but for you, that's really important. It's like, oh yeah, I really feel that I could show up better in that regard. Like, hey, do you want to go get coffee? I'm not drinking coffee at the moment, but hey, do you want to just go and spend a morning together? Hey, do you want to go to the beach?
Mm.
I could really, yeah, I'm gonna commit to that, my love.
Okay. Mm. How about you?
Mm.
Any desires you want to bring forth?
You're just nourishing the fuck out of me. Like this turn on that you're experiencing right now, it's really fucking cool. So, and you're rinsing the saucepans after you use them in the morning. Like you're actually doing that. Like that's a big one for me.
Such a good student when you tell me what to do.
Yeah. I would like to I'd like to do a little more, singing and dancing with you. I think, yeah,
I loved Sunday.
Yeah.
Lured out by your voice.
Yeah. I think I'd love to like sing and, yeah, I think there's an element of play that I'd love to have outside of sex, just like playing and creating with you that, yeah, I feel like coming into summer, there's going to be a lot of that, like going out into nature and just playing music and just frolicking and just enjoying life together. So I'd like more of that. Quality time.
I want a day off our phone in nature in the next 2 weeks.
Do you?
Oh, well, my birthday's coming up and we won't have service for 2 days in nature. Okay, done.
Already sorted. One step ahead.
Guys, Jacob's organized a birthday weekend for me. It's called the Gathering of Meg.
The Gathering of Meg.
Because for those of you that don't know, he runs a retreat called the Gathering of Men. So now it's the Gathering of Meg.
You love that, don't you?
I love that so much.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Thank you for listening, guys. This has been I love these kind of conversations. This is my favorite type of podcast when we get to like extract this, yeah, amazing amount of value from what was just one question.
Yeah.
Mm.
And watch this space, guys. We have some really exciting things coming up in the next month.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for couples. So watch this space. We love you. Lovers.
Love you, lovers.
Love you, lovers. Bye, lovers.
Bye, lovers.
See you next week, lovers.
See you, lovers. Peace. Yo, yo, yo. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Now, if you'd like to stay connected with Meg and I, you can head on over to Instagram and follow me at @TheJacobO'Neill. And where can people find you, lover?
At @the.meg.o.
Amazing. And yeah, guys, check out the show notes for all other information in regards to what we've got coming up. And yeah, we're super, super grateful that you guys have taken the time to listen in to this podcast. If you do have any topics or any questions, like I said, hit us up on Instagram and we'll see what we can do. Apart from that, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
Big, big love.